Welcome to Sounds the Bizarre, live from Helsinki, live from the European Conference on Educational Research, the Sounds of the Summer, the Sounds of the Bizarre. For those of you who haven't been here on our last two programmes, Sounds of the Bizarre is broadcasting live from the European Conference on Educational Research. It's probably Europe's biggest conference on educational research. We've got something 2,000 researchers here, divided across 27 networks, talking about every aspect to do with education and educational research. I've been talking to people from intercultural and social justice, people on the history of education, people on open learning and environments for learning, people from VetNet, vocational education technology, and it's a wonderful mishmash of people. It's a huge old university building. I'd say one of the most amusing experiences is the numbering system on the rooms, which is totally crazy. They have half the numbers in Roman numerals and half in the numbers we use. I don't know what they're called, the normal numbers we use. So people are roaming around saying, where's this room, where's that room? Corridors and round circles, crazy, crazy. Anyway, we got half our programme for you today. We're running to 1 o'clock and we got some great guests lined up for you. We're going to go now into a short musical break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Fiona Hallett from the Emerging Researchers Network. And there's a lot of ideas we've got to talk about. Okay, over to you, Dirk. Welcome back to Sounds of the Bizarre. And I've got Fiona with me from what's now called the Emerging Researchers Network. Tell me what it's all about.
Well, our network started a number of years ago for postgraduate students. And over the years, we realised that we have people within our network and presenting at the pre-conference that may be postgraduate students, but they may also be new researchers who aren't engaging in postgraduate study. And we include people within 6 years of their PhD. So we have a very vibrant, very diverse group of people in our network. On average, about 250 people attend the pre-conference that we run.
250 people attending a pre-conference. Now, what makes a pre-conference different from a conference?
Well, we have a number of differences. First of all, and this is a really important one, it's very intimate. For new researchers or people that want to network and meet researchers from other countries easily, to have a conference in one building and all the coffee spaces are together and we eat together really encourages that networking and that integration. It's also different because we have young researchers and student researchers, instead of chairs, people chairing sessions, we have something called mentors. And these are people selected for their knowledge of research and their capacity to nurture and mentor and draw out sessions and pull threads together in a very supportive way. We also run workshops around different aspects of new research. So it might be about aspects of doctoral work, getting published. And this year we ran 4 networks from the main conference ran methodology workshops in the pre-conference. So it's a supported, scaffolded training ground as much as an opportunity to start presenting in an international context.
I was talking to you about this yesterday, actually, and I do wonder, when you started saying, instead of chairs, because we're young researchers, we've had people who are supportive, drawing out ideas, summarising, scaffolding, and it seems to me, shouldn't we have that in all conferences?
Well, this is not to denigrate chairs. I know that many chairs do this, but we have very specific guidelines for our mentors, and they're often selected because they already support PhD students, and they're very interested in supporting new researchers. So they're ready, they're poised for the very nervous, the very anxious, people struggling in conference English, and they're all, if not trained beforehand, prepared beforehand to have something up their sleeve. And actually, our mentors really love it. And we have a number of mentors that do continuous mentoring for us because they really enjoy the students and the emerging researchers. And we're increasingly getting people from the main conference offering to mentor because they're linking up with new researchers in their field. In fact, this year, one of the networks running a methodology workshop said they learned a lot from the emerging researchers. So we're not saying it's vastly different from chairing, but we do prompt our mentors to be nurturing. That doesn't mean they don't critique. They do offer suggestions for support and development, but it's not a passive role, and some chairing can be a passive.
Yeah, and I think I still hold to my argument. I don't think chairing should be passive, and I think that's something perhaps that in our conferences, in our communities, in education, educational technology, we neglect. We just allocate people to chair when it shouldn't be a passive role. But can I move on a bit and feature back on this issue of emerging researchers and the particular issues that, and I know it's a generalisation when we talk about Europe, or I know your network extends way beyond Europe. What's the particular issues that emerging researchers face?
Well, it's absolutely fascinating and perhaps deserving of some research from a body like ERA. But we find that across Europe, and you certainly can't generalise, there's real variability in what supervision means, in the kind of support new researchers get. In some Eastern European countries, they report that they're told what to study by their supervisor and their institution, and there's more freedom in other institutions. There's often a lack of support and funding to attend conferences, which is why we have the scholarships. And most PhD research, master's research, or early career research is focused on a single national context, often a single institution or a series of schools. And so it can be really difficult to develop the Europeanization that is required by many international journals, or the internationalization. And so the particular needs of our participants are around networking, around finding other people to collaborate with. Many people express difficulties with presenting and writing in English, and we now have, our scholarships were awarded to people from low GDP European, Eastern European and beyond Europe countries. So we had one from Nepal, one from Ghana, and these people are trying to understand their research from a European context. We are very focused on the journal, the European Educational Research Journal, but that requires Europeanization of output, and so we need to move towards that.
On that, once more on that European issue, how much is it you're saying we're extending very specific issue-based research to generalising European level? But is that a task in research anyway, the ability to move from the specific to the more general? So is it an embedded part of a process of learning or in terms of supporting scaffolding anyway?
Well, absolutely. And it's quite natural that most people start with their own context, their own area of interest. And it's not easy to make that leap. You can look at literature, you can contextualise your work via the literature, but actually to talk to somebody else and to study with somebody else forces you to contest your own assumptions about your own context. It's a really important aspect of any research that's going to have any credibility. And it's a particular need of new researchers.
Okay, Fiona, thanks very much for that. Just one last thing. When we've got people probably either listening live now or listening, if you're listening later, to the recording of this broadcast and saying, Fiona's been talking about these scholarship things, and that conference sounds pretty fantastic to me. I'd love to go there. And for those who don't know, next year's conference is in September in Berlin. I think I've even got dates of it, 12th to 16th of September in Berlin, Freie Universität, on the theme of urban education. If you're interested, but you haven't got big funding in your institution, how can you get one of those scholarships?
Well, we currently have 20 scholarships, and they're very specific. They're for PhD students in low GDP or Eastern European countries. You have to, if you go onto the EERA website, EERA, you will see a link there to tell you exactly what you need to do. But basically, you have to put in an application. And this year we had 41 applications, and the 20 successful applications explained how engaging with the wider European audience would help their research and equally what they could contribute to other researchers in other countries. You also need a letter of support from your supervisor. We have these 20 scholarships that we are really happy to give out. We also are subsidising accommodation, and it will be on a first-come, first-served basis. And the pre-conference is free for postgraduate students, and the main conference is reduced price. So we're really trying to widen participation and access.
Thanks very much, Fiona. I said at the beginning that this conference is huge. The building is really, really confusing with all kinds of strange numbers. And you know what you have to do, and people are fast realising this, you find someone wearing a pink T-shirt. Now, it's very strange, these pink T-shirted people, but I'm going to have a musical break now, and Joe's been out here, who's doing the directing here, Joe's been out and captured a woman in a pink T-shirt. So, a musical break, and then we're going to talk to the woman in pink. Welcome back. You're listening to The Sounds of the Bazaar. And of those of you who heard my trailer before the break, the woman in pink. The woman in pink who guides you when you're lost. What's your name?
My name is Päivi Ebel.
And where are you from?
I come from Finland, and I study here at the Department of World Cultures. I'm a PhD student, and I volunteered when I heard of this great chance to participate.
Now, what do the volunteers here do? We know there's a lot of you, and we can see you very visibly, but what's your job here?
Well, we are all together, 75 people, and we do all kinds of things, and we have the most surprising questions to answer.
Oh, tell me something.
Well, something like, could I be a photographer or a good restaurant reference whatsoever. You have to be a Helsinki expert at the same time.
So you do the conference, but you're also a general sort of tourist authority on everything.
Yeah, it seems to be. And people love to see us pinkies, and they approach us very fast. And that's great because I love my job this week.
You've really been enjoying it, yeah?
Yeah, I do. The best part is precisely the fact that people come to talk to you, because this is not what happens normally here at the university, and especially not in Finland so often. People prefer to find their way themselves and make the bother themselves. But now that we have such a great amount of foreigners, they have the courage to ask us, and that's what they need to keep on doing.
There's a thought on that, isn't there? Imagine if universities were all like that, when people started going up and asking someone else when they got an issue, rather than, as you say, keeping to themselves. We could transform universities.
Well, I don't know how to do that, but perhaps this is a good indication, our work, that people are there for one another and can have the courage to ask.
And you volunteered. Why did you volunteer?
Well, actually, my main criteria was because I have participated to some conferences myself, and I have seen these very efficient, invisible people, and I have never truly appreciated their work so much as I should. And now I really can appreciate their great investment and effort and simply their energy and their time that they spend for us.
Did you get a chance to go to any of the sessions in the conference?
Yeah, well, actually, I had quite a busy program, but I was lucky enough to go to the kind of sessions that I really loved, and one of the keynote lectures where I was present was really fantastic, and I had another lecture which also inspired me very much.
And if you missed those keynotes, of course, we've been streaming them, and there'll be videos of those keynotes, which will be available, I guess, next week on the ECR website. I'd love to talk to you longer, but time is running out here. Thanks very much for all your help in the conference, and to all of your colleagues for all their help. We've certainly appreciated it, and we hope the people in Berlin will be as great next year. Thank you. A musical break now, and we've got more guests in the studio. Okay, and welcome back. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar, the sounds of the summer, the sounds of the European Conference on Educational Research, live internet radio, live from Helsinki. You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar. And I'm absolutely delighted to have with me Dr. Alison Taysom from the University of Leicester. Alison, we're going to talk about doctoral research.
Yes, we have a British Educational Leadership Management and Administration Society Doctoral Research Interest Group, and I'd like to invite colleagues to join the Doctoral Research Interest Group that really focuses on how education can enable our future leaders to consider ways in which they can engage with diversity in their schools, in their classrooms, so that we can have a cultural change for sustainability and living together harmoniously together.
Wow, but that's a big agenda. How can you do that? How can you start addressing that? I mean, that's a huge, you're talking about culture change coming out of doctoral research. How can you do that?
Well, it's step by step. And initially, we've gained some money from BELMAS.
Who's that?
The British Educational Leadership Management and Administration Society. And we have a seminar on the 26th of October. Professor Richard Pring will be coming to talk about the difference between an effective leader and a great leader. So we're looking at moral imperatives. And then Professor Carolyn Shields will be coming from University of Illinois to start to engage with the kinds of materials and resources we can give to doctoral students, colleagues, leaders, to enable them to understand the self better, how they may misrecognize colleagues and students and community members, and then how they can work for recognition and social justice, both culturally and economically.
But isn't a lot of doctoral research fairly instrumental? I mean, you agree that your research topic, you do your literature review, there's a fairly strict format to doctoral research. How can you change that? You seem to me to be talking about a lot of issues, which I'd very much agree with, but don't seem to me to be big on the academic agenda at the moment.
Well, this is really important, and this is why we've got the Doctoral Research Interest Group. We've got a lot of important questions to ask like that, and we need colleagues from ERA, from ESA, international colleagues, to come and help us address those questions.
Okay, that's great stuff. If people are listening to this or listen to a recording and they want to know more and thinking, this sounds, cause it sounds to me pretty interesting as well, how can they find out more?
Well, if you email me, I can send you a link to our website. My email address is A for Alpha, S for Sierra, T for Tango, 11 at L for Lima, E for Echo, dot A for Alpha, C for Charlie, dot UK.
I wish I could do that with my web address. That's my email address. That's absolutely fabulous. So, Leadership Seminar is free, is it?
It is free on the 26th of October at the University of Leicester.
So there you are, University of Leicester, 26th of October. Don't miss it. It sounds really cool. We're going into another musical break now, and we'll be back talking about vocational education and training, I think. Thank you very much. Okay, and we're back again. And we started off, we tried to mix these broadcasts a bit by talking to some of the people organising it. And there's a lot of problems the organisation, brilliant people, the Pinkies, as they call themselves, are doing. But also talking to some of the people about the content. And I'm delighted to have Marge Mallet back in the studio here today. We did a great interview with her on podcast last year, I think, at last year's conference in Vienna. Marge, I've not had a great chance to go to much of the conference because we've been so busy with the multimedia. What's your impressions of this conference?
Well, Helsinki is very hospitable, but it rains a lot. So that's causes to all huddle together and talk. The sessions have been very well attended, and the program this year, although we had lots and lots of papers and lots of presentations, one of the things that we worked on as a board was to have it...
And we're talking about the Vocational Education Training
Network. Yeah, so we're talking about the Vocational Education and Training Network within the ERA conference, and we decided to have... three papers where possible in our sessions, and that worked really well for encouraging discussion and people to network, and that was excellent. So I think that's worked and it's been positive, so we'll try and do that next time in Berlin.
And I mean, that's difficult at conferences, isn't it? Because you think something's really interesting, you'd like to talk about it. You go to a session and you've got five speakers and they always say there's going to be discussion at the end, but it's always about 4 minutes.
That's right. It's a big ask, and it's worked much better this time. And there actually has been some real conversation with people being able to then move down to over a coffee or lunch, continue talking. And ideas have been coming up for encouraging younger researchers. We've had some excellent presentations by people who are doing their PhDs, and I've been impressed with how confident they are, how articulate, and how important their research is in making a contribution. So I've been trying to say to them to think about networking further, and I'm also involved with the Workplace Learning Special Interest Group for the American Educational Research Association. The next conference is in April of next year in New Orleans, and the year after that, which is the time that people would have an opportunity to submit a paper for, is in Vancouver in Canada. So it's well worth looking up the AERA website checking out the dates for abstracts, and I'd really like to try and get that international collegiality, because even though it's an American conference and it is incredibly huge and intimidating with 12 to 17,000 people turning up each year, so it's mammoth.
But that makes this look tiny.
But there's the quality of the special interest group. So there's about 160 members of the Workplace Learning Group, and they're very welcoming, and they are very, very international.
Tell me some of the issues then around workplace learning. I mean, people hearing this might be coming from any area in education. What's specific about workplace learning?
I think that one of the issues I picked up more and more at this conference, and that I'm starting to do some work on myself, is the issue of older workers. And being slightly older myself, I had to laugh when one person was regarding 25 plus as older, so I felt exceptionally old. But older workers are women and workplace learning. The challenges of bringing together lifelong, life-wide and life-deep learning. And my colleague Len Cairns and I presented a paper about the three-dimensional learner, trying to bring those together. And also, for plug and advertising.
Come on, you can have a free plug on our program anytime you want.
Thank you, a free plug. Sage have got pamphlets for our forthcoming handbook, Sage Handbook on Workplace Learning. And so that's going to be out, I think, next month. So a plug for that. And that gives a very good overview of issues internationally and just issues facing workplace learning.
That sounds good stuff. I'm going to be looking at that myself. And that comes out next month. Okay, thanks very much for coming in today. I'm hoping we're going to be seeing you in Berlin next year, and we'll have you on the video or the radio again.
So that'd be great. Thanks a lot, Graham.
Thank you. Okay, another musical break, and then we'll be talking you out of this series of programmes study. It's all coming to an end, but don't go away quite yet. You've got a couple more minutes left. Musical break. We've really got to go, but there's one person we've been trying to get on our programmes all week. They've been fantastic in the support to us, from the technical support from Vienna University. As you can imagine, we've been doing videos, we've been doing live streaming, we're doing radio programmes. We've needed a lot of techie support. And for some reason, they seem to allocate it as one person who just turned up. One of the pinkies, as I hear you've been described. What's your name?
Yeah, Marco.
And Marco's been with us all week, giving us support. Marco, you're a volunteer at this conference.
Well, actually, no. I'm a paid worker. We've got a staff of four people doing just the technical stuff, so I'm one of them.
And what's the technical challenges of doing that support?
Well, I have to just make sure that all the computers and screen and projectors work as they should.
Across the whole conference, that's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, there have been some interesting difficulties, but
what are the difficulties? What are the main difficulties in providing that kind of technical support? And I should say that, unlike most conferences, they've tried to give everyone a working wireless email here, and it seems generally to hold up. But what are the challenges?
Well, all the equipment is not that easy to use, so, well, if you're not that technically oriented person, you might find it difficult to use something, so that's our job then to help and make everything work.
Well, thank you very much for helping to make all our equipment work. I'm very pleased we just managed, because we've been trying to get you on the programme three times and the time has not worked out. And Mark has just actually walked in from McDonald's and put down his McDonald's onto the desk, and we grabbed him before the end of the programme. Sadly, that is the end of the programme. We produced a series of three programmes live from Online Educa Berlin. It's part of our summer series of the Sounds of the Bazaar. We ran programmes for the PLE conference. We're in Barcelona in June. We've run this program, and it's not the end of that summer series because we're moving on across Europe. Our next broadcast in this series, the last broadcast in this summer series, will be early in October, where we're broadcasting for the first time ever live from a castle in Kostelec. Kostelec, where's that you ask? It's near Prague, and we'll be doing live internet radio from the European Network for the Training of Trainers. It's a European project, and that's going to be a great program. What's the date, you ask? I can't quite remember, but never mind, you can always pick it up off our website. Go to www.pontydysgu.org. That's PONTYDYSGU.org. But all the details will be on the program notes for this program. I've now just got to thank everybody. There's so many people to thank, but three in particular. They're all four of them. My team here. We've got Raymond, who's been on video all week. Raymond on video. Mark, who's been doing the technical help for us. Joe, who's been hustling, getting all the speakers. You don't hear her on the radio, but she's the one running down the corridors to grab people. And as ever, to the techie guru, Dirk Stierglitz, who handles the mixing deck, gets the music in, and generally remains cool at all times under pressure. Thank you to the great team, and of course, to Maria Perifanu, who isn't here at the moment. We're not quite sure where she is, but has been helping us out with the programmes this week. Great team, fantastic team, series of fantastic programmes. We hope you'll be back for the next edition of The Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, The Sounds of the Summer. Sounds of the Bazaar, signing out. The Bazaar is produced by Pontydysgu. This was a production for the European Conference on Educational Research. Sounds of the Bazaar is licensed under a Creative 3 license.